our LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me think I'm getting the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me think I'm getting the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
LSU with Carter. So Deion Sanders said something very interesting today at the Big 12 Media Day. And it is honestly something that a lot of you say on this channel all the time.
Coach Dom Izzo, WDAY in Fargo, North Dakota. You're opening up with North Dakota State, or a known FBS killer. Tell me what you know about the Bison.
They're good. They're really darn good. And I'm mad at Rick right now for putting them on the schedule to open up with them. Like, can you give me a layup or something? Like, those guys are wonderful. Their staff has always been amongst the best. Many people have matriculated from that staff to go to higher levels. Those kids play their butts off. They're tough. They don't make many mistakes. They're accustomed to winning. They don't give a darn about being at home or on the road. That does not faze them whatsoever. We just can't wait to see it. I know it's a national television game. I believe it's a Thursday night game. Hopefully not too late. But we can't wait to see them. It's going to be a phenomenal game.
All right. So I am not anti-Colorado. I am actually pro-Deion because he says a lot of things that I do agree with, and that I strongly disagree with. But he called out. Now, I will say it was kind of in a joking-ish kind of fashion. But he did say, and I always think, and being a stand-up comedian in my former life, every joke that you hear has an ounce of truth in it, every single one of them. You should never take any joke too serious, but some of them do, and most of them do, have just a little eeny, weeny, beeny, teeny little bit of truth to it. He was calling out his AD, saying, why the hell would you schedule the one team that we get absolutely, positively no credit for if we are to beat them. But if they were to beat us, it would be viewed as a massive upset, which it shouldn't be. I actually think North Dakota State will win that game. They are the giant killers, as the reporter pointed out. But the message here from Deion Sanders could be applied to LSU. Now, for me, I like the fact. I'm not just going to say like. I love the fact that we play difficult season openers from a content perspective, because it just gets the juices flowing as an LSU fan, and it gets us going a little bit quicker. But as a lot of you know, LSU has struggled in season openers. But what I would like to point out about difficult season openers is they are rarely well-played games by either teams. Let's just go back a few years ago when two really powerful programs played each other, and they will play each other in a season opener again this year, Georgia and Clemson. Both of those teams turned out to be good, but the final score was 10-3. Now, why was the final score 10-3? Well, you don't know who your best players are. Yeah, you know Will Campbell's good. You know Emory Jones is good. But the rest of your team, returning starters and all, What about the players that are starting their first game? You don't know if they're good or not. Difficult season openers make very little sense. And if I were in the LSU brain trust, I would not schedule them, ever. I understand you get a lot of money for it. I do think there is a little extra brand equity in playing the Sunday night game because you are in a standalone spot. The only other standalone spot in all of college football outside of the Sunday night game is honestly the national championship game. Outside of maybe a few other games, there is a lot of brand equity involved in playing a high-profile season opener, especially if you do it on a Sunday. But you get no credit, really, for winning it. But if you lose it, it's the end of the world. And I'll point it out again. We don't do it. It's one thing I'm trying to do on my SEC channel is bring extra nuance to the black and white win-or-lose nature of college football. We do not give teams credit for scheduling difficult season openers. We don't. It's either you win or you lose. End of the world. We never actually say, hey, you know what? Maybe Florida was never actually going to win flying across the country to play an experienced Utah team. Maybe South Carolina was never actually going to beat the number 3 overall pick in the NFL draft in a season opener, with South Carolina having the worst offensive line maybe I've ever seen in the SEC. So you get no credit for winning difficult season opening games when you should get more credit for doing so. So I want your thoughts on it. Should Brian Kelly do the same thing? Let's just say we are to lose a season opener versus USC. Do we try to get out of the Clemson home and home, which will more than likely be season openers? Now, why will they more than likely be season openers? Well, Clemson plays South Carolina at the end of the year. And normally teams that have to play an out-of-conference rivalry game on rivalry week, if they are to play another Power 5 team, not during rivalry week, normally that game is the season opener. But truth be told, from a competitive standpoint, I like it. From a rational standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, that doesn't mean I'm scared of USC. And like we said last night, Florida State, revisionist history tells us, those Florida State teams are two of the better Florida State teams we have seen since, obviously, the heyday of the Bobby Bowden era and the Jimbo era. So, a little bad luck that that happened, but it is what it is at this point. Now, once again, this is a deep look-ahead spot, but I'm not sure if Clemson's even going to be good next year. I think you could see a precipitous slide in the Clemson football program. We'll see what Kate Klubnik and those guys do, but that's obviously just way too far ahead. Now, we saw a Hazard, go hard or go home. Mick, Tony, do we have any PHL patrons in here? We see BT, Chance, Cole's in here. Lance, what's good? Steel sharpens steel. Now, next thing. I sent out a vague tweet earlier today, and I'll address it now. All right? I said this during the LSU baseball run. When LSU baseball was a bubble team this year, I said, look, if it comes down to it, LSU baseball will get into the college baseball playoffs because they are a big brand. Florida was on the bubble this year. They probably shouldn't have gotten into the field, But the college baseball experts were choosing between Florida and Lamar. Florida and Indiana State. Who are they going to put in there? Brands matter. Ticket sales matter. Eyeballs matter. Jack Castiglione, whatever his name is, matters. Now, he doesn't draw like a huge rating, but he does draw in the MLB draft nerds, whatever. Your brand equity matters. People want to see Florida in the college baseball playoffs. People want to see LSU in the college baseball playoffs. It's just how it is. Guess what? LSU is an elite brand. You get that equity. You get a little nudge from time to time. You get a little extra love in the preseason rankings. Hell, you got some love in the NCAA defensive rankings. LSU's defense was one of the worst defenses we have seen in the SEC last year, especially compared to expectations. What did the NCAA football team do, or experts do? They made them a top 25 defense in the video game. They were terrible, but it's the LSU brand. It still carries a lot of weight. Now, what does all of this have to do with the college football playoff? I have said it a gazillion times. The college football playoff wants this first 12-team playoff to be a massive, massive, massive hit. They do. They want packed stadiums. They want national media. They want the sights and scenes and sounds. They want to take all their cameras down to go around to the different tailgates. That's what they want. StreamYard booted me out. My apologies. I don't know what happened. It sent me an error message. I think it was Greg Berhalter, because I'm about to absolutely flame him on here. But I'm here. I want you to take a look at this tweet. Now, I wasn't able to go find the clip here. So this is Colin Wilson. Is one of my favorite, you know, college football minds. I follow him on my other account. I'll follow him here as well. New college football playoff executive director Rich Clark on the selection committee picking the first round home teams. These are the prerequisites he is looking for. Notice he didn't say the best teams. Because you when you think of the 12-team playoff, you think of it kind of like the NFL or the NBA. The team with the higher seed is going to have the home field advantage. So as many of you know, the first four seeds get a bye. But seeds 5, 6, 7, and 8 will get to host a home game. Now, notice the selection committee decides who those teams are. And in the first year of the playoff, the most coveted seed in the first year of the playoff is not the one seed. It's the 5, 6, 7, or 8 seed, because you get a lot of money for hosting a playoff game. Now, the NCAA gets the gate, or the college football playoff gets the ticket sales, but the economy, the sales, merch, all of it. You want to host a game. But notice what he says. Rich Clark. He is not saying, when it comes to picking the home field advantage, the better team, which is, you know, the ethical thing to say. He says, weather, hotel availability, ticket sales. weather, hotel availability, and ticket sales, is what he says, are the major prerequisites. Now, can someone tell me a program that plays in a warm climate would absolutely sell the hell out of their tickets? And also, has easy airport access, relatively big hotel access and Airbnb access, an unbelievable environment. That's LSU. Now, let's just do this, okay? And I'm just gonna show you this really quickly, okay? I don't want you to take too much away from this, but let's take a look at the preseason SP Plus rankings. Now, this isn't how they feel the playoff will actually finish, but this is Bill Connolly's ranking. And I'm a big Bill Connolly fan, even though I butchered his name. Bud Elliott, of course, really good writer for 247. So as you can see, his preseason SP Plus metric has LSU as the 10th best team in the country. Now, you got to remember, this playoff game is going to be played in December. Let's just say the committee had to choose between a playoff game being hosted by Penn State or LSU. Who do you think they're going to give the playoff game to? Let's just say it came down to those two teams, right? These are both teams that we can comfortably say probably won't be a top four playoff team, but we can also comfortably say that both of these teams have a really high likelihood of being a team 5 through 12, or a somewhat decent likelihood. If you had to choose between LSU and Penn State, once again, he did not say the better team gets it. Which city has better ticket sales? Well, it's about even. Penn State would sell out too. What about hotel availability? Well, Penn State, drivable distance, lots of cities in PA you could fly into, tons of hotels, whatever. But the weather. The college football playoff does not want games in snow. They just don't. So if they had to choose between Penn State and LSU, they're going to pick LSU. If they had to choose between Penn State and Notre Dame, well, if they had to choose between Notre Dame and LSU, guess what they're going to pick? They're going to pick LSU. If they had to choose between Michigan and LSU, once again, they do not want this game in the snow. Those three venues are all outdoor stadiums. They want to avoid that at all costs. They're going to pick LSU. Utah and LSU. Utah very well could be in that region. Weaker conference. Do you think they want to have a playoff game? Let's just say Utah is seed in their rankings. Let's just say Utah is seed number 8, LSU is seed number 9. Don't you think they're going to flip it? LSU and Utah, you better believe it. Kansas State and LSU, if it's down between those two schools, Kansas State's going to have a really good team. We would love a Kansas State rematch. They got Avery Johnson at quarterback. That is something very plausible. Chris Klieman, really good coach. If it came down between Kansas State and LSU, 8 versus 9, ticket sales, LSU. Hotel availability, definitely LSU. Now, if it was in the other Manhattan, that'd be a little bit different. But weather, do you want to go to Manhattan, Kansas in the winter? No, you want to go to Baton Rouge. Folks, I'm telling you now, LSU is going to host a playoff game this year. They're going to do it. The playoff wants that. They do. It's just think about selling a night game in Tiger Stadium, which is the most coveted environment in the entire sport. Warm weather. They want that. They want it. Kansas State could be 10-2. LSU could be a 9-3 team. LSU's getting that higher seed. So I like the honesty. It is very interesting, though. It would piss a lot of people off. I guarantee you it's going to happen. Jay Roy. Jaqueline, what's good? Where did everybody go? We are here. We said to Dwayne. We said to DJ Pickett prediction. Ooh, we talked so much about him yesterday. I have no idea at this point. I think most recruiting experts would say Oregon, but we'll see what happens. Now, first $20 super chat gets a Race McMath auto or a Nicholas Brissett auto in the mail. I shipped out a bunch of giveaways today. I'm actually shipping out a bunch tomorrow. Obviously, it's tough being, you know, your own content creator. There's a whole lot of work that goes into it. I love it. Still working on my Drew Brees versus Tom Brady deep dive. It is insane when you compare the two. It really is insane when you look at those two quarterbacks. You think, well, Tom Brady's got 7 Super Bowls. Drew Brees only has 1. There's not as big a gap between those two as one would think. And that's what I'm doing on Power Hour NFL, so go subscribe to that. That video should be coming out soon. It's probably my deepest dive I've ever done. My last Power Hour NFL deep dive, you guys went and supported it. How Joe Burrow saved the NFL playoffs. I really appreciate that. Obviously, our video, our Power Hour SEC video, we talked about it last night. In fact, it was a majority of the live stream, us responding to Josh Pate having LSU outside the top 10 programs over the next 3 years. So there you go. Now, obviously, there's so much recruiting coming up. Jace Thomas will be announcing his commitment pretty soon. Jabari Antoine, his commitment announcement in 10 days. We'll see what happens there. I do want to get into the latest NCAA video game rankings. They released their top 100 players today. And Will Campbell was the highest rated player. He was tied with Ollie Gordon, the running back out of Oklahoma State, and Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, as the highest rated players in the game. But they aren't on the cover. I found that to be very interesting. Something else I found to be interesting is Garrett Nussmeier was not amongst the best quarterbacks on the game. He wasn't. I think his ratings are going to be like the 80s, mid-80s. Shedeur Sanders was the highest rated quarterback in the game. It is amazing, after I complimented Colorado a minute ago, how many elite, and I mean elite, Colorado rankings they have, which doesn't hold up in real life. They had Colorado amongst the top 25 defenses. They were awful last year. They had Colorado as a top 10 offense. Really? And Shedeur Sanders, the number one overall quarterback? They're trying to sell copies. But that's not here nor there. Now, coming up, I do have one LSU player that has grown on me as I've dove deeper into my research. But first, home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first-round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right. So, man, I have seen a few murmurs and references to this. If someone could do this for me, I'm live right now. I saw a guy who's been wrong about some stuff when it comes to college baseball. I won't say who because I don't want to get into like one of these stupid media fights. But there is this guy who claims to be a big-time college baseball insider who said So I take that back. So I was referencing somebody else, but I saw Kendall Rogers confirm this. He said tonight at 10 p.m. Central, you guys know if there's anything I'm not, it is I'm not the LSU baseball insider. But it is noteworthy that he goes out of his way to vaguely reference this. Okay. $10 p.m. tonight, LSU baseball fans need to be around Twitter, Instagram for a huge announcement. So I saw someone else vaguely reference this. I have no idea what this is. Does anyone have any clue who that might be?
Anybody?
I don't know. You tell me. Huh? This one was zapped into me on IG about the choices that LSU made for SEC Media Days, which I believe is next week in Dallas. So I have my history with SEC Media Day. I'll probably never go. probably the worst I've ever been treated in my life. But that's not here nor there. I would have preferred Will to be able to go because he is our best player. But then again, you know, he's such a big star right now. I really don't think it's that big a deal, though. I don't think it's a big deal at all that he's not going. I think the players they choose for SEC Media Days is always a little bit of a bigger story than it actually is. I think Mason Taylor, Garrett Nussmeier, and Harold Perkins are perfectly fine. What I will say, though, is the worst thing that could happen for SEC Media Days is what happened a few years ago with Anaya Smith. and Anaya Smith got in big trouble before SEC Media Days began. And like literally the night before, and everyone was asking questions, what the hell happened? So I tend to think, as far as SEC Media Days are concerned, the actual content that comes from it is a little overrated. For me, I used to love going because I was, you know, a one-man band in a small town when I was still doing radio, doing SEC Media Days every year. And when I would go, I would be able to gather sources, speak to media members I don't see during the year unless I'm actually going to a game. And that's what I miss about it. It wasn't really the interviews. It was the contacts. I did my favorite interview I've ever done with an LSU player. It's probably Marcus Spears at SEC Media Days. It was awesome. Best interview I've done. 30 minutes. And at the time, he wasn't as obviously as big as he is now. He was selling Johnsonville sausage. Yeah. So everybody that interviewed him, they got free Johnsonville sausage. And I've shared the photo on here. There's a photo of me interviewing him with a brat in my hand. So I miss doing the interviews, but there's hardly ever any breaking news. The two biggest things that come from it, though, are the media votes. And the second big thing is occasionally there is one like juicy kind of sort of story. Like a few years ago, it was the Jimbo Saban thing that broke right before SEC Media Days popped off. So take that for what it's worth. Now, let's see. Let me see here. What do I think about Mike Gundy? I touched on it briefly. I'm sure I'll do it again now, though. That is the sign of job security. I always say this. It is a little bit easier for me to, you know, say something bold and controversial because I am mostly my own person, right? My own business. Now, do I have partners? Yes, but no major oversight. I would like to join a major network, SB Nation, 247, anybody like that. I am open because it does. You do get paid a lot more if you are with one of these networks like Yahoo. I applied for a Yahoo job like 2 or 3 years ago. But yeah, I mean, I would love to do that, but you know, I am my own, you know, person. College football, you can't really do that, right? Because you represent an educational base. But you can do that if you have job security. And outside of maybe Kirby Smart at Georgia, there might not be a coach who has more job security than Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State because he is that program. He makes that program relevant because he is that good of a coach. So he can get away with saying and doing a lot more things. And he has said and done a lot of controversial stuff. But man, what he said yesterday was stupid. Now he cleared the air and said, and basically was saying, look, we have all done stupid stuff. And I get that, but you don't have to get specific. But I'll always say this about Mike Gundy. Every year, you know, these publications release their top 10 coaches. And I have no earthly idea how Mike Gundy is not on every single one of those lists. Now, some of it could be political. Some of it could be the controversial stuff he has said. I'm not a fan of him per se myself. But I am a fan of how great he is, how innovative he is, how smart he is. And I understand the mullets. I'm a man, I'm a 40, all that stuff. The dude can coach. And if he is on Oklahoma State sideline, he is a top 10 coach in America. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was one play away from going to the college football playoff at Oklahoma State. He is one bad field goal missed away for playing LSU in the national championship game. Mike Gundy is a freaking legend. And when his career is done, he should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. No, I don't know if this actually did get people angry or not, but, you know, SEC Media Day interviews can get boring. So somewhere on the internet, I'd have to go, I guess I got to go deep in my SoundCloud to look for this, but I made everyone I interview on SEC Media Days bust a freestyle. Every single one of them, every guest. It didn't matter if you're a player, didn't matter if you're a coach, it didn't matter if you're an administrator. Greg Sankey was sitting right in front of me. I said, "Greg, here's a beat. I want you to give me your best freestyle." And he said something along the lines of, I will not do that. I am the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. And Sankey was the only one that refused. Every single guest tried. Every single one. And the best was actually a suit from Chick-fil-A, who is representing the Chick-fil-A kickoff. His name is Gary Stokin. Gary Stokin at the best freestyle. I'll never forget that. He's just a suit at Chick-fil-A. Dude seemed like he was waiting his whole life for that moment. But man, we had some players dropping some sick stuff. And it took time. I had to go find the most family-friendly, royalty-free beat I could find. And if I were to go back to SEC Media Days, that's what I would do. I would make every one of my guests bust a freestyle. It's kind of hard for me to do it on here because YouTube has a bunch of, like, things. I guess I could do that again. Bring it back. But it is a lot better if you are in person. Uh-oh. The Master Blaster is here, who once bowled a 298. What's up, team? Let's go. Tony's here. What's up? All right. So, what you're going to do? Next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you can super chat, feel free to fire it away. Did get some bad news earlier today. I want some thoughts heading my way. So I brought a new dog into the family. Now, the dog does not reside here. The dog does reside at my in-laws. So it is my mother-in-law's dog. But, you know, I work from home, baby dog. I'm going to be looking over the dog, younger dog, whatever. So today, dog woke up, was acting up, took it to the vet. I never heard of it. I think I'd vaguely heard of this, but my baby dog, Delilah May, has parvo. Now, I don't know what the hell parvo is, but apparently it's serious. Now, luckily, we caught it early, and I'm helping taking care of the doggo because my mother-in-law was kind of on the fence about wanting to get another dog. Her dog passed, I think, 3 months ago. So, you know, our happiness is very much tied into having a dog. It's just how it is. So, keep me in your thoughts. My Delilah May got the parvy. Makes no sense. Why the hell is that even invented? This is my Delilah May right here. Her nickname is Took. T-U-K-E. Look at Took. I've been in the dumps today. My Delilah May. My Took. Oh, man. How about this? England wins today versus the Netherlands for an England-Spain final. But I'm just going to put y'all through some soccer analysis because a few days ago, and this ain't even a soccer analysis, this is patriotism on the line here. Didn't mean to get political, but Greg Berhalter needed to be fired, and they finally axed him. So, we're not that far away from the World Cup in 2026. Who will the USA hire? As long as it's not an American. Now, I know that sounds crazy. Well, Carnett's anti-American for you to go out of America to hire a coach. Well, to be honest, most of the best coaches in club and international are actually coaches that aren't from the country that they're in, right? So we needed to fire Berhalter. To make this as clear as possible, Greg Berhalter needed to be fired more. And I mean absolutely positively more than Ed Orgeron needed to be fired. Just to let you how dire of a situation it was. Because at least Ed O had actually won something. Greg Berhalter has not won anything. He has underachieved. So, Team USA finally got the thing right. I don't know. God, the Jaden Daniels slander. Is insane. Insane. Because of one clip where he answered how I would want him to answer, throw a touchdown. Stan wants some cricket sounds. Huh? 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 No, towards the end, I honestly think of topics to talk about all day. And I just try and make sure I get to all of them. I write them down, but there's always like these secondary topics, Stan, that I want to get into. I purposefully did not make this a recruiting chat. Tomorrow it's going to be a lot more recruiting chatter. I hate shows. Hate them. Where all the guests are talking about is the latest on if they think this kid is going to commit or not. Right? Like, day-to-day recruiting updates. I just can't do it. Especially now, I just can't do it. I really can't. You've just got to be the highest bidder when it matters. That ultimately decides a lot of it. I tell you, I know there's something else. I wanted to talk a little bit here about, I'll save it for tomorrow. There's a lot of steam for another Louisiana wide receiver from 2025. His name is Philip Wright. Yeah, I gotta hit that like button, subscribe button. We'll take a few more here on a glorious hump day. All right. So here's Philip Wright's profile at a Destrehan. As you can see, a huge Michigan push here. 5'11", 170. So not the biggest guy. 2025. Very interesting. I'm kind of curious what this baseball commit's going to be tonight at 10 p.m. I have not. I saw it like right when I got on. He'll probably have more. He'll be on live here in a second. Jared, thank you for the super. I don't think I properly addressed this yesterday, but I appreciate those that reached out to me making sure I was okay. Tornado sirens are going off on Monday night. I was a guest on AYS. So I appreciate you guys. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. Still kind of scary, but still. Now, one thing I did, this is one of my favorite collectible items. It's been at my parents' house for a while. Ticket stubs. I miss ticket stubs. This was from the New Orleans Saints versus New England Patriot Monday Night Football game in 2009, where Drew Brees had arguably the greatest quarterback performance in NFL history. 18 to 23, 366 yards, 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers, only 5 incompletions, perfect passer rating, the best passer rating versus an elite defense ever. And then on top of that, his 16.1 yards per attempt is tied for the highest amount in a single game in the NFL modern era. Because back then, yard per pass attempt numbers were just way higher because they didn't throw as much. And only Lamar Jackson versus the Dolphins comes close to Drew Brees. The only other one over 16 in the modern era. I couldn't believe what I watched. Now, was it the best quarterback performance I'd ever seen live? Now, I would probably say Joe Burrow versus Clemson. But I thought going into the night, Joe Burrow was going to go off. That was like the first like big, big high-profile game of the Brees era. Now, there were some others before that. But that Monday night, 2009, Tom Brady, Randy Moss in the building, and you bench him. So I brought this, and I'm telling you right now, the video I'm doing on Drew Brees will blow your mind. I really do think it's going to be that good. I spent like 4 or 5 hours working on it today. NBA reaches 11-year, $76 billion media rights deal. I think ESPN, NBC, maybe Amazon's in this. $76 billion over 11 years. What is that? $7 billion a year? Insane. You wonder why the Celtics owner is selling right now. Huh? Oh, man. Tyler, we had 60 tornado warnings the other night. It's crazy. I remember that, Pegasus. You called it. Probably the worst superstar I can remember in American sports, outside of course, people that do evil, illegal, nefarious things. So Kawhi has not done that. But God, he is a bad superstar. He is a bad, bad, bad superstar. There you go, D-Pain, there you go. D-Pain's my guy. Yeah, I actually met him last year in Chicago. So D-Pain will publicly take the L. That's fine. You didn't even have to do that, D-Pain. I have more respect for you now than I ever have. There's nothing worse than taking an L on a sports take. No, actually, there is a lot worse. Okay. The Kawhi thing never made sense. But what also doesn't make sense is why is Derek White getting it over Jaylen Brown? Why would Derek White get it over Jalen Brunson? Like that is the most perplexing thing. Like, that makes no sense to me. I guess I got to read up on it. But that'll do it for me. Top super chatter, J Red holding it down as he always does. Is our only super chatter today. We'll be back live tomorrow. It'll be a lot more recruiting focused. But shout out to Prime Time for hooking us up with some content. Don't forget, please go to Power Hour SEC if you've not already. Check out my latest video for Power Hour SEC discussing the top 15 college football programs over the next 3 years. It is! Power Hour LSU. Boom! And probably didn't say anything about LSU, but it was kind of sort of LSU adjacent. So just rewind it and watch it from the beginning. And tonight we are doing $5 steak night. Let's go.